to a sacred journey with Immortal Master Almin and discover the mystical keys to ascension.
I pray that as these sacred truths unfold, that you may listen with your hearts. For the concepts go beyond reason, and that which is about to be revealed beyond the confines of logic. Anciently, the earth fell several times. The ancient Toltec teachings passed orally from seer to seer. Speak of catastrophes that hit the planet 1,000,000 years ago, 800,000 years ago, 200,000 years ago, 75,000 years ago, and with the sinking of Atlantis, 64 years before the crucifixion of Christ. Each time a great shock occurs on Earth, there is a loss of energy. And a loss of energy means a loss of consciousness. And so over eons,
it's been possible, but hard to
the first time by a simple few steps of living, it can be achieved. In the kitchen, at work, in public transit, among the masses. Ascension. What does it mean? It means a deathless life in which the physical can vibrate higher and higher until eventually it can taste no death, and death must move aside.
Thank you.
initiate has set aside the things of the world. His aspirations are for higher things. And as in the first phase of each of these three stages within humanness, a shedding must be done. It is a time of transformation, and friends fall by the wayside. Old lifestyles no longer serve. Old ambitions are discarded. The testing of this phase is fear. For even the comfort of belief systems, those prison bars that keep us in a trapped prison of limitation must go. The initiate finds himself on shaky ground and must overcome this fear to move on to the next phase. The second phase in identity consciousness is the phase of the adept. The adept is no longer afraid, but knows he is rising on higher thermals like an eagle, leaving the flocks of birds behind. And if loneliness is the path of greatness, he will choose it. The adept has learned to see symbolically. The adept knows not to take life at face value, but to see behind the appearances what is really going on. The adept learns the language of the signs in his environment, for all the cosmos speaks to us to guide us in the clarity of our next step of growth. But each time a problem is encountered, the adept does not see it as a problem, rich treasure chest of perception. For what is a problem but perception that has not yet yielded itself? And so, with diligent application, the adept delves into the meaning behind the appearances. And when the perception is extracted from this, a great surge of energy floods his body. And this can be addictive, for there is a corresponding endocrine release within the body that can, in fact, become a habit. Not only does he feel an emotional surge of power as he transmutes problems to perception, but he feels the physical exhilaration. As in every phase of the three stages we are talking about, as part of the human experience, the second phase deals with overcoming addiction. If he does not, he will become stuck, shouldn't at this point. To devote instead attention to balancing the pieces that must be done before the next phase, namely the subpersonalities. The subpersonalities, when balanced and whole and expressed, provides an emotional self-reliance, an emotional sovereignty, which prevents pitfalls along the journey. For the adept must cease to need, knowing that his being is his sustenance. And thus he sets about creating balance in his inner nurturer, his inner child, his inner sage or elder, and his inner warrior. The nurturer, when dysfunctional, judges and scolds, demands perfection. The functional nurturer takes care of the needs of the inner child, intercedes with the other subpersonalities on behalf of the child, also takes care of the physical needs of the body and the other subpersonalities as well. The inner child, when unparented within, becomes needy, dictates which relationships we choose, dictates what we do in order to feel important. The functional child brings innocence, spontaneity, enthusiasm, and guides with its feelings our life. The dysfunctional sage judges instead of discerns, for its job is to discern that which lies behind the appearances. The inner nurturer, the inner child, the inner sage, all must be guarded by the inner warrior, who guards the boundaries that none impose or abuse or encroach. When the warrior, however, is dysfunctional, it fights outside circumstances, not realizing that we strengthen that which we oppose. The functional warrior not only guards the boundaries, but also guards that nothing within disempowers the family, and therefore guards our thoughts, for it is our thoughts that fall into the reservoir of our hearts, and acting upon the substance of things hoped for, that fills all the ether, manifests our life's conditions. And now we move on to the third phase of this first stage upon the path of enlightenment, the third phase of ego. has mastered the mind, that has lived a disciplined life, and has learned enough cooperation with the river of life that flows through all things, that he has become empowered. The testing of the third phase of each of the three stages of man will be a testing that pertains to power. The first phase of this stage, which is called God consciousness, is very disconcerting at times, especially to those that have been accustomed on relying upon reason to a large extent. For it is as though we have been emptied out. It is as though we have no thoughts, very little retention of long-term and short-term memories, as though we have no emotion. In fact, what is occurring at this phase is that the emotions we are feeling are the emotions of the infinite itself, so vast that our minds cannot interpret it. There could be feelings of great dread at this point, for there is a total death of the old, a total transformation. We are transfigured. We are no longer what we thought. At times when left alone, we find we are truly observing all life within us. And then perhaps, as fear grips us, we might pull back to the body as a point of awareness, but then feel afraid and claustrophobic, for it can no longer contain our vastness. Fear, the challenge of every first phase, if not overcome at this point, the master could in fact still step out to identity consciousness backward whence he came.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are part of the premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
In the second phase of God consciousness lies the bliss. No longer do we feel as though we are no thing, but we know we are all things. As we stand in the midst of a crowd, any one of their feelings could be ours, if we but place slight attention on that particular person. All things, as though they move within us, move through us, and all the while, bliss laughs through ourselves. stay in this bliss. In these first two phases of God consciousness, the empty and the full phase of the bliss, the holiness, the fact that we are dealing with one who has exceeded the limitations of the ego, is apparent. And many masters gather without trying, for they have no longer an ego. They have nothing to prove. Devotees, students, monks. As they do that, the ones around them often have to remind them to eat, to dress, to sleep. For it is as though they are in a deep, drug-induced state. Bliss. But if through the inertia and the bliss, they can but remember that there is no point of arrival, they will press on and overcome the tendency of addiction, which belongs to this second phase. And they will re-enter the human condition. During the first two phases of God consciousness, it is as though the actor on the stage has remembered that indeed he is not the character, and has walked off the stage. But he must remember that the play has value, that its value lies to the audience, who learns about the mystery of beingness by turning the unknown into the known through experience. This is growth. During the first and second phase, growth has slowed dramatically. Now the master must resist the temptation to withdraw from the clamor of the minds of men, but must re-engage, like the actor walking back on the stage, that the audience might learn about the mystery of beingness, that he himself might grow, and in doing so, promote the growth of all life. And thus again, as he cries his tears and laughs his laughter, perhaps even more uproariously than the average man, his memory comes back, and he finds a strange occurrence happening. He finds that if anyone were to ask him a question, he can access the answer from three different minds. From his highest mind, or his higher self's mind, or the lower mind. He gauges at which level the student can receive, and that is the level from which he presents the answer. And even though on the surface he may now no longer seem quite that holy or withdrawn from life, crying tears, feeling irritated, it is all merely upon the surface, a stone in a teacup. For underneath it all is the vast stillness of a master that knows. He or she is all there is. They are as vast as existence. A unique perspective that spans across all time and space, relating to the infinite, much the same way our inner personalities relate to us. Our inner child is not outside of us or separate from us, but just a 5-year-old's perspective. And so we are to the infinite, a unique perspective. For it is through our experiences that the infinite learns and grows. But now, the power of overcoming the bliss is available. And the master can, with the mere thought, change circumstances. The master has become harmless to all life, and such power can no longer be abused. The master has forfeited all ego, and no longer can it be self-serving. But such power must be tested. And the testing is how fully the master is prepared to cooperate with life. If the master wishes to have a parking place, by seeing the parking place and knowing it will be there, one will open up exactly where he wants it. But instead, if there is not one open, and the master would accept this and park several blocks away, he will find the beggar on the street, who he had to make eye contact with and give the recognition to, that he understands the perfection of exactly where that beggar is in his life right now, in order to help him to move into the next levels of his existence. Full cooperation with life, having spent a lifetime accumulating vast amounts of power, the master now finds that there is very little need to use it. The key here is emotion. The master must use his emotions, for it is the power of emotion that will propel him across the chasm, the huge gap between God consciousness and ascended mastery, the final and third stage of the human evolution. Like the previous two stages, ego identification and God consciousness, ascended mastery also has three phases within it. In the first phase, we encounter the phase of the totally silent mind. Few have given information about these phases in this third and final stage. I therefore coin these phrases. In the first phase, the totally silent mind can be fearful, as we would imagine, for again, the challenge is fear. We speak with no thoughts. The books I have written, while in this phase and beyond, have had no conscious thought, except for some editing behind the handwritten notes that shape them. One writes automatically. One speaks automatically. At first, it is very disconcerting to stand in front of 1,000 people and speak for an hour and not know one word that one said, not having thought any of them. Unlike our consciousness, we no longer have to have an internal dialogue within the mind to be able to relate. The mind is only used for deduction, for various cognitive skills like reading or math. The body, after each large leap between the stages, could be detoxifying for months, every conceivable toxin pouring out of the skin. The second phase is the phase of immortality. In the phase of immortality, because of a transfiguration that occurs within each of the phases of ascended mastery in the mental bodies around the physical form, experiences a pop that goes through the body like a lightning flash. Pressure is felt on the sternum. Tingling through every cell. Pain could be felt momentarily. And then, like popcorn popping, sensations in the cells. In immortal mastery, as in the other stage before it, God consciousness, we experience the transfiguration of fields around the body. During the God consciousness stage, it was the emotional bodies. Now it is the mental bodies that transfigure. In this second phase, this phase of immortality, although the mental bodies may transfigure, for the physical to follow suit, one has to be in eternal time. One has to live in eternal time, which is living in the moment. Anyone that lives in the moment will find him or her self rapidly progressing through all these different stages. It is the key to mastery. In this particular phase, however, it is not just recommended, it is a ascended mastery and the apex of human achievement. One has to achieve this phase in order to vibrate out of this existence, if you choose, into the ascended mastery realm, where several thousands of masters from all walks of life, all races, all different creeds and spiritual paths form what is called the White Brotherhood. They are the ones that have overcome all things while in the flesh, even the last enemy, which is death. It is, however, for the benefit of humanity and all life that some of the ascended masters that are rapidly moving into this phase stay in physical form. For we are providing the proactive pole, the positive pole, that is opposite the negative pole, the more passive pole of the masters that have chosen to move their bodies into higher levels of being, the realms of the ascended masters. You see, for thousands and thousands of years, the ascended masters have been the most stagnant place in the cosmos. The only place as stagnant has been the realms of darkness. Any overpolarization, for instance, what they did, overpolarizing into the light, causes stagnation. Movement, which is growth, occurs when life pulses between doingness and beingness. And so, the more of us that stay immortal masters in the flesh, the more the growth of our ascended mastery levels that ripples down throughout all life. What lies beyond? Up until August of 2005, only 9 ascended masters knew. Christ, Krishna, Buddha, Kuan Yin, Sanat Kumara, female Taoist immortal masters, and others. For they knew a secret. And the secret was the power of emotion. The fact that emotion is what propels us through that glass-like shield that separates kingdoms into a level beyond our wildest imaginings. The use of the Kundalini to inspire emotions during this third phase of ascended mastery, which is devoid of emotions. For they die down or dwindle into nothingness before the expansion that is felt. And if we forsake them, that is the end of the line. Beloved ones, I have laid out this roadmap for you so that you might know and not be afraid. You might always remember there is no point at which you have arrived. Our ascended masters, not pulsing between doing be stimulated. I shall share with you now the primary three ascension attitudes: love, praise, and gratitude. If you find even one of these that you can do from the depth of your heart continually, it can lift you up and over into mastery. For gratitude to be there constantly, you need to trust that even if the worst that you fear comes to pass, that there are always loving arms to lift you up and over. Gratitude for life. Gratitude for the destiny that can be yours. Imagine the life of the cosmos pulsing through your veins. Every action rippling its effects throughout every living creature. What a being of power you are. How wondrously made. Great cause for gratitude is there, if there is awareness. The wonder of our relationships, the privilege of a friend, the beauty of nature, the gratitude for obstacles. For it is true, where there is perception, there will be testings. But within them lie your next insight. Gratitude. Love. We can only truly love when there is innocence between us and another. If we still find flaws in another's actions, rather than recognizing that the very flaws that we have been born with are our strong suits, for they are the mistakes that will reveal to us our destiny. If we can see, even for a minute, the innocence of all experience upon this stage play, where all actors are not the characters they're playing, nor is the play real, we can love them with gratitude, even if they play illusion. For if they did not play the villains, we would have had to. If we can see the perfection underlying the spider web of illusion that covers all of existence, our hearts will ring with praise. If we can see that death never has had the tyranny we thought it did, that our beautiful lives can be eternal, forever, immortal, our hearts will sing with praise. Our hearts will rejoice, and our entire life, every action, will become dedicated to the glory of God.
And I read from the Odes of Solomon. I was crowned by my God. My God is living. I receive the face and the fashion of a new person, and the thought of truth led me on. I walked after it and did not wander, and all that have seen me were amazed, and I was regarded by them as a strange person. And he who knew and brought me up is the Most High in all his perfection. and he glorified me by his kindness and raised my thoughts to the height of his truth. And from thence he gave me the way of his precepts, and I opened the doors that were closed, and broke in pieces the bars of iron.